Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's just be friends. We're trying, Hugh.
It's not going to happen.
Well, we're friends. You mean us?
I mean, we're always going to be friends, yeah. Joe.
But everybody out there, we're trying to find some common ground. And this Jalen Hurts thing is, I think it's tripping some people up. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilla, Donovan McNabb on Monday afternoon show surmised that the Eagles don't really trust Jalen Hurts. And I agree with them because through the first couple games.
Donovan just walked in. Dropped the grenade and just
walked right the hell out, even though he was a guest of the show and invited on to give his opinion. Do you believe the Eagles trust Jalen Hurts? I don't. I mean, it's now, last year made sense. Last year was logical. Last year you had the best running back in the league running for 2,500 yards and the number one defense. It made sense to be a very run-centric team because they were never down. And they didn't have to, and they could just run the clock out. The first 3 weeks, the run game hasn't worked, and yet we're still throwing the football at a very small percentage, including Jalen Hurts having less attempts than Mac Jones, who's played two games as a backup. Jalen's played three, of course, as a starter. No, 77% of people saying it's not fair to say the Eagles don't trust Jalen Hurts. All right, I disagree. Before we get back, can we hear from Jalen Hurts? Because this sounded like a direct shot at Hugh Douglas, who, of course, famously Monday came in here with tinfoil hat, recklessly speculating that Jalen took over the play calling in the second half from Petullo. Jalen, unprompted yesterday, asked about the adjustments that were made. Here's what he said.
What perspective did film review give you on why things were working so well in the second half?
We had to. we put ourselves in a position and we approached the game in a different way. And you know, you have games like that. You know, you have games like that. And I think as a unit, we found a way to get it going. And I give a lot of credit to KP in that. Give a lot of credit to KP in that, being able to adjust and see and get us in the direction that we need to be.
Your response at yet another direct shot from the Eagles organization.
I don't believe it. Okay. I don't believe it. Don't believe it. You can't convince me. Can't convince me that he didn't go renegade.
So the head coach and the quarterback liars.
Don't care.
Evidence be damned.
No, wait. Yep. But first of all, because we got to be careful with the words we're using. I never called him a liar.
Well, you're not believing what they're saying.
I don't believe it.
You may as well.
I just don't believe it. I feel like this is a circle the wagon moment. I feel like in order for you not to undermine what happened, you have to say those things. This is chess, not checkers.
Sure. Now, to be fair, Sirianni was asked directly, and he gave a direct response. That was 10 minutes into Jalen's press conference, unprompted.
Yes.
So he's just playing the long game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Just like when Jalen said, remember last year when he said something to the effect that, something about the coach, and he misspoke. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say he misspoke. I forgot exactly what the situation was, but he misspoke, and then he had to come back, and he had to clean it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's about the same thing.
Okay.
This is damage control.
Right, for you.
Because I created a fire that I did not know.
You did. You really did.
I did not, because you've had so many different people talking about this, and people were sending me memes about other people talking about this. Mm-hmm. And this was just me recklessly speculating as a fan. And I admit that. But now, since everybody's come out and pushed back so hard against this,
right,
I believe I might have been on to something.
I am wondering what point of the broadcast on Fox this coming Sunday they're going to address this. There's been some speculation in Philadelphia that Jalen Hurts took over play calling in the second.
They should say reckless.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing if we get there. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to the phone lines here. Jalen Hurts, the way the Eagles run this offense, do you think the coaching staff and the team trust him? It doesn't feel to me like they do. I think they should trust him more. I don't think he would turn the ball over four or five times a game if that.
Twice in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's my fault.
Okay.
I own that.
Accountability is where we're at on this show. Greg in Hamilton is up. Hey, Greg.
Hey.
Hey, Greg.
I just think that you should. Hey, how y'all guys doing today?
What's up,
good,
man?
Greg. What's up?
All right. I was trying to figure this out because, again, as I'm listening, I was getting ready to go in one direction, but I had to come back and figure this out right. I think that, unfortunately, we win ugly. The Eagles are like the San Antonio Spurs that were winning all the championships, okay? That's what I think we're like right now, okay? We want them to do better, but unfortunately, between Jalen and the new offensive coordinator, since all the talk is mainly about him throwing the ball, how about we maybe trade him and just have a quarterback that does throw the ball more, and that'll make our offense a little bit more exciting to everybody else. Whether we win or not will be a different story, because winning doesn't seem to be the important thing for us. It's the cosmetics of how the Eagles look with Jalen quarterbacking.
Sounds like you're taking a shot at you, Joe.
Yeah, I'm confused, Greg. Do you think they'd win less if he threw the ball more?
No, that's just it. I don't know.
Right, but I didn't say that, Greg. The Eagles tell us that every week. I'm confused why you don't see it. I'm honestly confused why you don't see it similar to Donovan or Baldy or anyone else. Like, why don't they throw the ball
more? I mean, again, it seems like nobody. Hold up. No, it just seems like you just said, you don't seem to trust Jalen throwing the ball.
No. They don't trust him. The Eagles don't trust him. Don't you see that?
The Eagles don't trust him. Okay, well, then if the Eagles don't trust him, then how about we just, like I said, go to getting a quarterback that the Eagles will trust, and we'll see if we can keep the current winning standards that we have. How about that?
Well, it seems like you don't like the idea they might not trust him, so you're getting facetious about it. Like, do you think they trust him to throw the ball more? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, then we agree. I mean, like, we can like take shots at each other and like make it sound like I want to trade him, which I don't. But you're making it sound like I want to trade him. I'm just trying to unpack what we think about the team. Like you, I think what it is. There's a lot of people out there who love Jalen Hurts and can't accept the fact that the team doesn't trust him. You may love him, I may love him. They don't trust him, and that makes everyone uncomfortable.
Why can nobody understand this?
Because
so
and I know why. Because if you spent 7 months saying he's a top two or three quarterback, they can't. How could the team not trust him then? I know what this is. No one wants to admit that a quarterback that you think is great, they don't. That's what's happening here. Like, we can pull this apart 50 different ways and make fun of Donovan McNabb. That's what's happening. And until they come out throwing on Sunday, I'm going to believe that. They have to show me differently.
Live your truth, Joe.
Well, live your truth. Now, you know what? I am living my truth. Finally, I'm going to do it.
Live your truth.
And you know what?
What?
They should let Jalen call the plays on Sunday. Pooh in North Philly's up. What's up, Pooh?
Fellas, love the show.
Pooh, what's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, listen, man. I 100% disagree. Donovan's a hater. I'm going to keep it a
bean. Come on, man. Okay, why is Donovan a hater, Pooh? I'm going to let you speak, but you tell me why Donovan's a hater.
All right, so check this out. I love Donovan on the field, but Donovan... He has always had issues with someone getting glory. He didn't want T.O. getting glory. That was a problem. Now he don't want another quarterback to come in, and he don't want him getting any glory. KP, we got to give him some time to get his feet wet and get into a rhythm. We're calling him, please. That's all that's about.
Okay.
I'm listening. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Pooh. I didn't mean to cut you off, but here's the thing. I've talked to Donovan, and – that T.O. thing might have been valid, 20 years ago? But Donovan has grown since then. And I've had a chance to talk to Donovan about his views about this this subject. And some of the things he's saying, it's valid, because look at it like this, Pooh. Let me take you back to that game in New Orleans, the Super Bowl, and how good Jalen looked throwing the football, right? So now coming into this season, knowing what we know about how defenses are going to attack Jalen Hurts in this offense, to run the ball gives validity to what Joe is saying. It might not be true, but you can't sit here and say Donovan is hating when you look at that game that he had in the Super Bowl and the way he threw it, and then you come into this season and they're real conservative offensively. And then I gave you some numbers of Justin Herbert in his last three games and the last three games that he had last year. He came in this season throwing the ball a little bit more. I'm not saying Joe's right, but if you do a little bit of research, you can kind of see where Joe's coming from. That's
all. I'm going to give you another spin on it.
Okay.
Okay.
So check this out. We paid Saquon all this money to come over here, mm-hmm. him to run the ball. So if Jalen was throwing the ball 40 times a game, we'd be complaining, why they not running Saquon? We pay him all this money. Why are they not running him? Then check this out. How many times we complained about starting off running the ball a little bit, then going to the passing game, and then what people say, oh, why they ain't continue running the ball? So it's like almost like a no-win situation.
Pooh, I do agree with you to a point. It's a good point that they have a lot of stars on the offense and a lot of mouths to feed, right? Like, so if it goes to an extreme one way or the other, and Pooh, good phone call, man. We appreciate you calling. I think that's fair. I mean, I think they did pay, and they paid him again, right?
But they paid the receivers, too.
That's the counter to it. They paid everybody.
Because let me tell you, Pooh, and we're talking to Pooh because you made some good points, but Pooh, calling a grown man Pooh sounds kind of funny.
It's insane. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's his name.
P-O-O-H.
His name, Pooh, we're going to call him Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, Pooh Richardson. There's been some famous Poohs.
But the thing that jumped out to me, and I think it was the second game. It was one of the games early on. We only had three. But there was a tweet where they said that the Eagles receivers are doing cardio because they're not throwing them the ball.
Yeah, that one got
you. That's just as egregious, you know, because there has to be a little bit more balance. You know, you can't have, even though we've won, you got to figure out a way to get everybody involved in the offense. And I think that's the biggest thing. Now, granted, for me, 3-0, that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the evolution of this offense, man, you want to try to evolve it and make it as easy as possible to win these games. Because last week was a sweat box.
Yeah, of course it was. They were down 19.
Last week was a sweat box. And you know, going into this game, we ain't trying to do that again. We trying to enjoy our nachos and our chicken wings and go into halftime feeling pretty good about the outcome.
Yeah, no question.
All right. Didn't feel that good.
No, we felt bad. 215-592-9049 for all your phone calls coming up. Do you think the Eagles trust Jalen? And what I mean by that is the coaching staff, the offensive coach, do they trust him? It's stark to me how few times they've thrown the football until they had to through three games, even though he ended last season playing his best football. Do you think they trust him deep down? I don't. Don McNabb's hit on it. Baldy thinks they're going to remain conservative on Sunday against the Bucs. All right, coming up, your phone calls. And we got to check in with Tampa Radio. We'll go eavesdropping on the enemy. What they're saying this week. I hear they're taking some shots at us, at Eagles fans. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Let me get to the Twitter poll here. I'm curious where this one's at. Twitter poll question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. All right, so we threw up this poll. Is it fair to say the Eagles' offense has been conservative because they don't fully trust Jalen Hurts? Which is the implication Donovan McNabb gave when he was on the afternoon show on Monday. And then yesterday, Baldy was on. And very fair question, like, hey, it looked better in the second half on Sunday. Maybe they'll do that. And he's like, no, I think they'll be conservative again. And we're trying to wrap our mind around why. I think it's fair to say that the coaching staff doesn't really trust Jalen to throw a lot, and they want to keep things conservative. 77% of people disagreeing, many taking shots at Donovan McNabb personally for the take on this, and me for whatever reason. So that's where we're at, 77% no on that one. 77%.
Interesting. I mean, you know, living their truth. People living their truths, man. Let them live their truth.
Well, I can't let people live their truths.
Well, I mean, if that's the way they feel, I mean, you know, I mean, what can you do?
Well, that's true. Ultimately, when the phone call is over, we all each go our separate ways.
I just don't understand where, like, Donovan has been in these situations, and people are talking about he's a hater. Like, that to me is crazy. That's crazy.
It is amazing. I agree with you. Aren't we past that with the Donovan?
Well, it is like it's.
Well, we should be.
Well, obviously we should be, but nobody can have. There's no adults around anymore.
Nah, we've devolved into that. I mean, I'm okay with being petty sometimes, but come on, man. The man just talking from a perspective that he lived. He's been a part. Like he was a quarterback.
Yes, a good one.
He was a damn good quarterback, and. For him to have an opinion. Like, nobody's saying that about Drew Brees said, about the offense being boring or whatever. Well, to be fair, I haven't seen anything negative about what Drew Brees said. And I know that for a lot of people, the qualifier is Drew Brees won a Super Bowl. I mean, I get that. But that doesn't disqualify you from having an opinion because you didn't win one. Because guess what? I ain't win one either. But hell, I got an opinion. So, I mean, I just think it's ridiculous for a grown person that has a 401k to sit here and that be your first qualifier when you're having an adult conversation is that he didn't win a Super Bowl. As an adult, that's something that you play the dozens with when you're in high school or the eighth grade and you say stuff like that. I don't think that's a conversation reserved for grown-ass individuals. In my personal opinion, but that's what you want to do, by all means, cook.
Well, it's one of those, I don't like the message, so I'm going to go after the messenger.
Basically, that's what you're saying. Yeah. Basically, as a grown person, that's what you're saying. Well, I don't like what you're saying, so I'm going to take a personal attack at you. Okay, well, fine. If that's how you want to play it, that's cool. Then that means whatever you say after that really carries no weight.
Yeah, and moving forward as the season goes on, which we all hope leads to another Super Bowl, we already have our song to get to Santa Clara that we're trying to unpack how the Eagles
on the road again. That's
damn right. We're trying to figure out how we get to Santa Clara and get on that road again.
When we get to California.
Well,
we're gonna drink some wine. We're gonna drink a couple cases.
We're gonna get banged up.
We're gonna get banged up. We're gonna let Elliot pick the restaurant again.
Yeah.
Bring some gummies.
It would be pretty wild. Like last year, you know, Bourbon Street kind of fit the bill of like, you know, getting banged up. It would be pretty funny if we all went to a winery in Napa Valley when we get to the Super Bowl. And it could happen. Scott.
We had to go right after the show too, though.
Yeah, or the night we get there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, Scott in Norristown's up. What's up, Scott?
Hey, hi guys. First time, long time.
Hey, Scott. What's up?
I love the show. Yeah, and I even love the show when you guys drive me nuts. Okay, I want you to know that. But I'm hoping that I can come in here and drop a little bit of like not all the fan base is out of their mind. So I agree with
you guys. Let him cook. Let him cook.
He's cooking.
Let me cook for a sec. Let me cook. So I totally agree that I want to see a more balanced offense. Right. We don't want to be winning these games as close as we are. We don't want to have the heart attack every week. Or feel like we need two blocked field goals to get a win, even if Jalen and the offense look totally different in the second half. So I'm in total agreement with all of that. I think my issue is when we are going straight black or white on this topic, which I think, like, Joe, you got to admit, it's a black or white take. And again, I get that Donovan said it, but to be like, well, it's just as simple as they don't trust Jalen Hurts. That's over the top. I think we have to look at all the perspectives and factors of how many games have the Eagles won out of their last 20 games?
19. Yeah.
They've won 19 games. So we are arguing, we are suffering from our own success. We are arguing against our own success. And it's why when I hear Baldy talk about this, I understand what he's saying. And even Elliot, who I hate to give credit for a take that I agree with Elliot, but I understand why you might think, like, no, we're not just going to go right back out to throwing the ball. Because if you look at how this team won the lion's share of their games, especially last year, right, we had Saquon had an incredible year, and we had that early turnover problems with Jalen at the beginning of the year, and we limited those, and we did everything we had to do. We won the Super Bowl, and then also, like, so, and I understand, we won the Super Bowl, and Jalen played great in the NFC Championship game, Super Bowl MVP. But it's hard. I feel like the missing piece that we're missing here is that we are arguing against success. And I understand it's nuanced. Like, yes, I want to see us take shots down the field. I want us to see us get balls to A.J. Brown and get balls to Devontae early and get Goddard involved. You know, like, I think all of that's fair. But again, we have not lost a game yet this year. We are still 3-0. So,
Scott, you're totally right. It is more nuanced than maybe sometimes I make it sound. And you're right, and that's true. And I think coming into the season thinking that and that being the philosophy made sense, right? Like, why break it unless it's broken? But three games in, the run game isn't working the same. And it's probably five different reasons why. Dickerson's been banged up, all that, and defenses have adjusted. Yet, so what's striking to me is, like, Baldy yesterday saying, yeah, we all saw what happened Sunday. They're probably not going to change it. And then hearing Jalen Hurts say, we're hurting ourselves. And hearing AJ say, we're being too conservative. Like, they don't even want to do it anymore. So, if they don't want to do it, and the results haven't been good this year, I'm just trying to unpack to, like, why would the coaches not change it now?
No, and I agree, and I think it's a fair question. I just don't think it's a matter of they don't trust him. I mean, listen, who's signing the checks? I mean, they see we're the fans, right, or former players and human stuff, like, who have played, who might have more of a perspective, but, like, I don't think anybody questions whether the Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback can throw the ball all over the field if he has to, if we need to get it done.
Ooh, Scott, can I stop you? I know you're cooking, but can I stop you right there? Because you said something that I wanted to kind of touch on. Okay, we saw Jalen in the Super Bowl, right, and what he did. So I guess the speculation is, okay, we saw that. So why was it in the first two games we didn't see more of that after we saw that in the Super Bowl? I think that's where the question lies. Because they were kind of conservative, especially when you talk about the last game that he played in, which was the Super Bowl.
Right. Personally, again, I'm speculating like you.
Yes.
Not recklessly speculated, by the way. They were taking shots this year. But anyway, I do think it's just hard. I think if you just think about it, like, personalize it a little bit, it's like, if you've had success doing something a certain way for so long, and you've had the ultimate success doing it, I think it takes time. I mean, we are three games into the season, right? So I think it takes time with a new offensive coordinator. I just think it takes time for them to go, okay, the running game is not what it is. Whatever, the O-line might not be what it is. Like, we want to get to that point. But I do think that, like, a watershed moment was going down how we did in that in the game last week. Going, like, having -1 or whatever it was, passing yards, 33 yards of total offense, and then going, like, we are forced to do this. We have to do this, and we know that we can do this. But I agree. I just don't think it's going to change their overall mentality and how they play. And, like, I'm with you. I want to see them kind of take the straitjacket off Jalen Moore and let him get it to our weapons more. And I think they'll do some of that. But I think it's so ingrained because of how much winning we've done, the way that we've already, done it. I don't know.
And Scott, a good phone call. There is something that I understand,
and
too.
And, Scott, appreciate the adult conversation.
That was a grown-up conversation.
Seriously, I appreciate the adult conversation.
He even made me say, I see it your way a little bit. No, that was a very good phone call. And I understand his point that to the coaching staff, we have won a certain way for a long time, basically every week. So I understand, and Elliot's brought this up, like, well, then why would they change? And we even talked about it the other day, like, are we just scrap the run now and become a passing off of one half of – so I understand that, like, hey, take a deep breath. This is how we win. But with these receivers and the success they had on Sunday, there's also, like, the, hey, let's do that.
Also, like, McNabb was the only one who explicitly stated the concept of
– trust.
Mistrust, right? Like, Jalen and AJ both have said, playing not to lose – playing too conservatively. Yeah. Like, they're saying without saying, like, cut this thing loose. That's all we're saying. Like, we're kind of, it's a very similar.
Don't shoot the messenger.
It's a very similar conversation the other day when we said, should they be more aggressive?
Yeah.
Everybody, a lot of people said, yes, they should be more aggressive. Don't you want to see Jalen Hurts cook more? Jalen Hurts wants to cook more. AJ wants to see Jalen cook more. He wants to cook more. McNabb is basically saying they should let Jalen cook.
And that's why when yesterday, when Ike asked Baldy about the offense and what he expects for Sunday, when Baldy said he thinks they're going to be conservative, it was striking to me because they saw what we saw on Sunday, that when they let Jalen throw and when they got rolling in the passing game, it looked better. So if they come out this week, Hugh, and they go back to what it looked like in the first half Sunday, I don't know what other conclusions I could draw other than they really want to be conservative here and are afraid of putting the ball in harm's way.
Yeah, and just going back and thinking about some of the games that I've been in, the teams that, when I played, gave us the most trouble were the ones that kept you off kilter, the ones that had you guessing about what they were going to do next. And that, to me, when I think about the passing game, that's what I'm thinking about, because right now when you look at most games that we start, most teams are geared to shut the run down from the gate.
Yep.
Because they're not going to let Saquon Barkley do his thing. And to me, when I say open it up, maybe come out throwing a little bit more and show them that you're more willing to throw to open up the running game. Because what you're trying to do when the game starts is like the Eagles said last week, you're trying to figure out how they're going to attack you. And most teams going into these games know that you're going to try to establish the run early. So switch it up a little bit. Throw the ball. Throw some quick screens. You don't have to basically push the ball down the field. But I think that if you get your receivers involved early, get them warmed up, then you could come to them late, and then it opens up everything else. To me, certain plays work better when there's an imminent threat of the ball going somewhere else instead of going where most defenses think it's going to go. And what I mean by that is the run game. We know we want to get the run game going. Mm-hmm. But in order to get the run game going, there has to be a threat of the pass. And, you know, the prime example that I always use when I talk about this is the Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
And the play action that they always use. They ran that play action so well that every time you saw it, you had to respect the run game. You had to respect it. And that's all you're trying to do. You want to freeze those linebackers. You want to freeze those corners so that they'll have to take a quick look to say, okay, he didn't hand the ball off, so it's a pass. And when you do that, you allow the receivers to get a step or two on that DB so they can catch the ball. Or you give him that cushion so that he can catch it in front of him and turn it into something. That's what made AJ to me so great, because when you threw the ball and it was short and they played off and you threw it short, he had the ability and the strength to muscle out of that and gain about 10 to 15 more yards, or hell, even take it to the house.
Yep. Well, and he's uncoverable because he could do that. All right, let's check in with our friends down WDAE down in Tampa. A little eavesdropping on the enemy here.
Eavesdropping on the enemy.
All right, let's hear what they're talking about. So, were they yesterday we discussed the idea of the Eagles being lucky, right? I think the Bucs have been probably the luckiest team in the league to be 3-0 with all their come from behind wins in the last minute. What are they saying about that stuff?
This team is just lucky. Let me tell you something, okay? When you go 3-0 in this league, no matter how you get there, yes, you make your own breaks, but I think the Buccaneers are good. Really good.
Well,
tend to do that back-to-back-to-back weeks. I mean, Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers are the first team since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970 to win their first three games in the last minute of the first three games, which is incredible.
Kind of
is there
like
a little bit of luck involved? I guess if you want to throw that into the equation. Okay. Look, good teams, and we've seen it, like the Chiefs in recent years. You've seen it with the Brady teams. Obviously, in New England, and of course, his magical year here.
Did he just invoke the Brady Patriots?
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
I think I heard that.
I mean, at least the Eagles are reigning Super Bowl champions. If we want to use their pedigree to the way they win, yeah. I can listen to that. It's enough with the Buccaneers. Come on. They were losing to the Jets with a minute to go. Does anyone realize that? Like, did he realize that? All right, so we have that. And then, is he taking shots at us? What is going on? Let's listen to this.
From Sarasota, for crying out loud. He's an Eagles fan. Disgusting Eagles fan
as well.
Yeah,
but that's not
The only thing that sucks, Pat, the only thing that sucks is this freaking
convenience fees on all the stupid apps. So it's like I don't have $500 to take my son to the game because it's $500 counting parking. You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But otherwise, you know, it is what it is. But they play Jacksonville next year, so I'll go see them next year when they play Jacksonville. But either way,
Adam,
you guys have a good day. I love you guys.
We love you. You're a great kid, so we want you calling the show as an Eagles fan. We don't want you in Raymond James Stadium. Like, I feel bad that you said it's too much right now, but at the same time, you and every other Eagles fan, I don't want you at Raymond James Stadium. You take the day off, you watch the game on your couch, and don't come bleeding your green around us, you SOBs.
Don't bleed your green and throw your crap at Santa Claus around us.
They're still on that Santa Claus.
Yeah,
thing,
they're still on that one. Obviously, they are terrified that Eagles fans are going to take over Raymond James Stadium on Sunday. The fact that he's putting the PSA to tell people it's not to come to the game, that's not a good one.
What do we do with the
they're coming.
With the Diamondbacks, when we bought tickets, didn't go.
Oh, yeah, to the NLCS.
Now, we might have solid representation in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, Philly people, like, of course.
Right next to Clearwater.
I would love to see a lot of green.
I think we will. I always think of Clearwater as like, you know, it's like here south. Like, it's like a getaway spot for a weekend anyway.
It's like the shore, but further.
It's like, that's a good way to describe Tampa, Clearwater. It's the shore, it's just you need a plane to get there.
Yeah, just further.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, there'll be plenty of Eagles fans, and it'll be awesome. They're clearly worried about that, though, for them to be broadcasting it like that. Well, have we ever spent time on our show hoping that other fan bases don't come to Lincoln Financial Field for a game?
No.
I never even think about it.
It
doesn't matter. And obviously there are some, like the Steelers or whatever, like, yeah, they have more.
They travel deep.
Sure. But like for the most part, I never think about any fan base coming like, oh, and I hope there's not a lot of them.
No.
It's kind of loser
behavior.
Worry.
Yeah. No, we're not worried about stuff like that.
No, we are not. All right, 215-592-9494. It doesn't seem to me like the coaches trust Jalen Hurts to throw the football. To the point where, again, I'm going to keep repeating this because it is mind-boggling. Mac Jones, the backup quarterback for the Niners.
Ooh, Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm, has thrown the ball more in two games than the Eagles have let Jalen Hurts throw in three games. It feels to me like they don't trust him. Agree, disagree, where do you come down on it? Obviously, Kyle Schwarber has got himself two home runs away from Ryan Howard. Should the Phillies let him go for it, prioritize rest down the stretch? We're all aligned on this show. Let him go for it. It's a DH. Plus, we want to get to a few things to watch for in the NL playoff race and potentially something that could affect the Phillies if tonight gets rained out. We'll hit that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls in just a few minutes here. Hugh, let's go over what happened last night. We know the Phils won, which is great, which means they clinched the number two seed, which means Red October starts here.
Woo-hoo.
Saturday, October 4th. Now, the opponent's still to be determined. The American League is very in flux. A lot of stuff's changing there every day. But The National League is looking more like we could kind of understand the bracket, right? So the magic number, I guess you could use tragic number for the Phillies, but the number for the Brewers now is one. One more Brewers win, and they will be the one seed, or Phillies loss. So that's pretty much wrapped up. It will be Milwaukee as the one seed. The Phillies are going to be the two. The Dodgers' magic number to clinch the three seed, and the West is now down to one. And it looks like the Cubs 4, Padres 5, and then the sixth seed. Obviously, it's going to be between a lot of teams that are still alive. Mets lost last night. Reds lost last night. Diamondbacks lost. So it's still a whole flux. Probably going to be the Mets or Reds or Diamondbacks. But there's still some teams involved, including, Hugh, you know the Marlins at 77 and 81 are still alive?
Stop playing.
Still alive.
That's great.
Now, they would need a million things to go their way this weekend, but they're still alive. But here's one very unlikely but possible thing we need to watch out for.
What you got?
So the Marlins are still alive. The rain, is it raining outside right now? I know it's supposed to rain a lot at some point today. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm inside, so I can't tell.
I know. I didn't know if you knew.
You look out the window.
Okay. If it rains tonight and they cancel this game, I think it's likely to say they probably wouldn't make the game up, right? Sometimes they just don't make a game up that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If the Phillies are the 2-seed, the Marlins are eliminated, they're not going to play that game on Monday. But, Hugh, if the Marlins are still alive after this weekend, you know they would have to make the Marlins come back here on Monday to play a game against the Phillies? To finish
Is that
the
right?
Yeah, well, they'd have to make it fair and to finish the schedule out.
Hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's pretty unlikely to, but it's on the board of possibilities. Now, if that occurred, we wouldn't play anyone, right? We just kind of let the Marlins have that game?
Call up the bum squad.
Everyone. Yeah, all the bums
can pitch.
Rojas could lead off.
Hey, listen, I might pitch some heat that night, though.
Let Jack Fritz go out there. Dream come true. Let him pitch. I mean, seriously, you can't throw anyone out there. That can't happen. So it's unlikely. I think everything will get wrapped up by the end of the weekend, and it's probably going to be the Mets, Reds, or Diamondbacks in that final wild card spot. But they're all losing, so I don't know who actually wants to grab that one. It is fun watching the Mets collapse. It's the best. They had a chance last night, Hugh, to pull away from Cincinnati and Arizona. Lost again.
Couldn't do it.
Nope.
The Mets are metting.
The Mets are. Oh, they're metting to a large degree. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Peter in Willow Grove is up. Hey, Peter.
Peter.
Pete.
Hey there.
Sorry, hey, Peter. No, you're good. Hey, Peter.
It was on mute. I was just going to tell you real quick. I believe, and I guess somebody may have already said this, they're saying it, but I didn't hear it before. They're playing not to lose, you know, and they're not playing to win. And I think it's all, honestly, you know, baseball analytics, now stats, football. I think they're just playing not to lose. That's all. I don't think it's Jalen Hurts. I think it's upper people telling them what to do, pulling strings.
But why?
I don't know why. I think Jalen Hurts is talented. I think he's a winner. I think he could throw the ball when he wants to throw it. If they would just also, they have to get open. But I think they proved it this weekend. They can be open.
Well, that they can. And Peter, it's certainly an interesting way to approach it. Peter, interesting phone call and good phone call. But isn't that the opposite of every football analytic we've ever heard? Like, don't you want to score and get up and then run the clock out? Why would the Eagles want to create close games if they don't have to?
It's perplexing, especially when you talk about that you're the defending Super Bowl champions. Now, it's one thing if you said that, you know, teams are playing them different and it's been a slog. But let's be honest, outside of the game this weekend, well, the game we just had, I should say.
Right.
It never felt like in the last two games that they were physically outmatched or that it was a tough slog. Mm-hmm. It just felt disjointed. It felt vanilla. I'm trying to figure out the words to describe what I saw. It wasn't they weren't challenged. It didn't feel like except for this weekend. Last weekend, I should say. They were challenged.
Right.
It hasn't felt like they've been challenged, and we made a whole to-do. And maybe it's us, Joe. Maybe it's the way that we view these first few games of the season that they've just exceeded expectations. Maybe it's that. You know, it's nothing. There's no wrong answer here, in my opinion, because they're 3-0. At the end of the day, that is the absolute most important thing. And they have, to me, outside of Sunday's game, really wasn't tested a whole lot. It just looked weird. Looked weird the way that they tried to do it. 3rd and 15.
Hand it off
was weird to me. You know, it was weird.
Yeah,
and to me,
it's how you treat a quarterback with kid gloves, and not a guy in his sixth year that won a Super Bowl MVP.
And that's why when Donovan says, and he didn't say it was, he said it seems like they're handling him like that. When you have a quarterback that has been in the league for 5 years and it's 3rd and 15 and that's the play that you call, I don't think Donovan's being a hater. I don't think he's mad that he didn't win a Super Bowl. I don't think it's because he beating up his son in Arizona or whatever you want to say. I don't think it's any of that. I think that's a valid question to ask because it's 3rd and 15.
May I use and I'm going to try to come up with an analogy here, because our last caller said it's just the philosophy. They're playing not to lose. But you know what I hear when, if that's the case, the implication then is if Jalen throws more, they are going to lose. You realize that's the implication we're making if that's where we're going with this?
I think you're getting too deep now.
Okay. Follow me?
I hear you.
If we're playing not to lose, that's why we don't let Jalen throw more. Then what you're saying is if he throws more, we're more likely to lose. Like, that's what it sounds like.
Somebody didn't blew a gasket.
Okay.
Somebody blew a gasket.
Can I make an analogy?
Go for it.
All right. I'll use it for myself, and we could use it for you. Imagine if our bosses here came to us and said, listen, just don't say anything that's going to offend anyone, because as long as we don't offend the advertisers here, we're all going to be fine. So talk less, Hugh.
Yeah, that ain't going to work for me.
Well, how would you feel?
Ain't going to work for me.
How would you feel?
That made me feel some kind of way.
Would you feel like they trusted you to not say something over the line?
Well, if they didn't trust me, they probably.
Okay.
You know,
maybe
you should
use
you as an example.
If they told me talk less during each show, which everyone watching and listening might say that's the idea. But if they told me talk less during each show because we don't want to offend somebody.
Yeah, that would not work.
I might say, well, that means you don't trust me to talk without offending someone, without going over some sort of line.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I offend somebody every day.
Yeah, you may be the wrong example.
Why has Hassan Reddick been on four of the freaking football teams? I'm pretty sure they hate when I start talking on Twitter. I'm pretty sure I make some people nervous when I talk too much on Twitter.
When you respond, I got time today.
Some people is in our boss.
They probably like, man. Hey, he'd probably be sitting around talking about, yeah, you ain't been on Twitter in a couple of days. It's a good week.
Yeah.
It's a good week.
Group text goes around, yeah, who's been quiet? Whew. Everyone's going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, that might not have been a good example.
Yeah, probably not be. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you outboard. All right, we're going to take everyone's phone call here in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll also let you hear next hour what A.J. Brown had to say yesterday about Tampa Bay, the matchup, how it's been a troubling one for the Eagles over the years. You people, I'm sure it is a wild group today. We'll get to all that 1 o'clock hour. Your phone call is coming up next on Jalen Hurts, the coaching staff. Do you think they trust this guy? It feels to me like they don't. I heard Donovan a couple days ago. We can replay the Donovan thing on the other side. What Donovan said to the afternoon show feels to me like they don't trust Jalen, and it's why they're so conservative. Agree, disagree, and to the Phillies, let Schwarber go for it or give him some rest. With the home run record, the all-time franchise single-season home run record in the balance the next few days. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. There we go.
Hey, there we go. Hey, we started all right. By now, you've heard me talk about my new tailgate drink, the new Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry Whiskey. It's the real deal, folks. It's bold, vibrant blackberry, softened with the creamy vanilla, toasted oak, and just a hint of honey. Just a hint. It would be my touchdown tailgate. It would have a touchdown at your next tailgate and at mine if whenever I decide to have one. Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry. Head over to your local fine wine and good spirit stores and grab yourself a bottle of Jack Daniel's Blackberry to make your own Jack Daniel's Blackberry Lemonade. And remember, tailgate responsibly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.